not very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to your favorite figure skating podcast, my favorite figure skating podcast, The Run Through. I'm not Olympic champion Sarah Hughes, here with Ashley Wagner, Adam Rippon, here to talk about all the things that make us kiss, make us cry, make us go to Japan and come back, make us think about how white the ice is in Japan.
The whitest ice there ever was, according to Adam Rippon.
I haven't thought about that in so long, but I'm being haunted by the white ice. It really is so white. Come on, Ashley, back me up.
If we were to play Save It for the Car Ride Home, that weak or Wagner, that is weak. But watching it now,
that's blinding.
Actually, so I have a, this is a total aside, I have one of those Samsung frame TVs, and half of the lights in my TV have like kind of dimmed. So half of my TV is like very white.
What?
And half of it is not as white. Yeah, I don't know.
I think we should get you a new TV.
I need a new TV. that being said, I was shocked by how brightly white half of my TV is. So yeah, I really agree with you now, Adam.
Thank you. Finally.
Finally.
It's so funny. Year. Like the Grand Prix from country to country, you could remove everything from the boards, remove the audience, remove whatever they have painted on the ice, and just show me a program. And I would know by the coloring and the camera work where we
Which
are.
Grand Prix?
Yes.
Yes.
At least no matter what, I could identify NHK.
It's so distinctive.
Immediately.
I mean, NHK, mm-hmm. Cup of China, France, like all of these are such distinctive styles
so
of
different.
Producing
Skate America,
and directing
yeah.
skating. And it's just so funny. Like you start watching and you're like, oh, I know where I am now. I
yeah.
get it.
Yes.
And I did watch a few more jumps than I would have liked from like a weird upper angle this week. And
that's because they have the diving boards.
Yeah.
They have the cameras on the diving boards in Japan. That was one thing that I was watching a little bit with JP, and he was like, they can swim in there because you can see the diving boards. And a lot of times in Japan, you're in like an aquatic hall that they just, that
These
always
rinks
scared
are
me a little.
Muggy,
or you're
and
in.
You walk in and you smell chlorine. You're like, I'm in a swimming pool.
Mm-hmm. I'm in a clean area.
I'm in a pharmaceutical dome, is I think what it was actually called. The name of this arena is like Tawa Pharmaceutical. So shout out
and
to them.
You know what? Still a better name than Crypto.com Arena.
Oh, well, and I'm never saying Crypto.com Arena.
I'm never
going to
call it that.
That's the Staples Center.
Absolutely not. It's a Staples Center.
So.
Well, you know, let's really get into what happened this week. And what happened this week is, yet again, when really big things happen in dance, I'm in charge of covering it.
I think this is the best system we've ever really devised. Oh, is there some potential drama in dance? Ashley,
let's
you got
stick
it.
Ashley on it. Oh, Olympic champions are coming back to pairs? Ashley should cover this.
Ashley's got it.
Why not?
She's got it.
I think she does got it. I will say you did a good job the last time.
Yeah, because I knew I was going to get red for filth.
But you weren't.
No, you're not.
No,
because I'm so scared of skating fans. So I'm going to at least do my homework.
This is a team effort, too.
It is a team effort.
We all watched it.
Skating fans are scary, but you guys would never leave me to sink. You will always help me swim.
No, we'll let you
and
float.
I will swim in this swimming pool of an arena. This week, we saw the return of reigning Olympic bronze medalist, the Shibatanis.
Not raining.
I'm sorry.
Olympics
it's been
ago.
Two Olympic cycles.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy to think.
How crazy. Yeah. As soon as I said it, I was like, that's a lie.
But it feels like that. It just feels it insane does. That it's been 8 years.
Yeah.
Since that happened.
It is kind of crazy. I want to hear what you guys thought about this. Let's talk about the rhythm dance.
I have a
dance.
Speech I want to give. But,
okay,
you know.
Before we give the speech, I know that some people have seen the like Alex Shibutani apologizes article. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about how they absolutely yassified his face in the security
screenshot. Well, they had to highlight
screenshot.
It because it was all like was so that? Gray and they're like, we can't see him. So someone went in with Facetune and just brightened up the circle of his face.
Well, and of course it was like the New York Post, which is not an outlet generally known for its journalistic integrity. So
absolutely not.
I mean.
No. So Sarah, you as somebody who I know is on Twitter, my friend Michelle Collins once posted a picture of like a woman is in this Delta lounge. She brought her own tube of mayonnaise. I've yassified her for anonymity. And that's exactly and she posted this photo of like a fully glammed out face and then like normal body holding a tube
except
of mayonnaise.
This is the opposite of that because it was yassifying him for identification.
Yes.
Instead this of anonymity. Yassifying for identification. To make sure you knew it was Alex Shibutani. Yeah.
Yes. With a beat face.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They gave him like a lash.
Yeah, and contour. Now back to Ashley. Now back to the skating.
Back
I'm
to
so
me.
Sorry.
Okay. So this rhythm dance. Here's the thing. I don't have a ton of opinions here. I think what we saw from the Shibutanis was just how far dance has come in the last two Olympic cycles, if I'm being quite honest. I'm not a dance expert, but I think what really stood out to me was the speed and complexity of elements and connecting steps, and the programs just looked a bit, I don't know, it just looked like they were not able to really keep up with the field. And that is not to take away from their talent as a team. They looked a little bit slow. It looked like they hadn't been regularly skating for the last 8 years. And it's because they haven't. I think they would have been better served going out and maybe doing an event in the Challenger Series. I think they should have kind of done a test run. I'm really curious what their thought process was waiting until the Grand Prix events. And seeing their Fix You program, which is a staple in their repertoire of programs, I don't necessarily think it translated as well with these new dance rules. I think we all saw there was a video going around kind of comparing the twizzle sequence of the past Fix You program to the one now. It just didn't really look as dynamic. It looked a bit slower. I just don't necessarily think it really translated as well into the current rules and what they were required to get done. So for me, watching them, it didn't really capture the magic. What I do want to say is watching the two of them, I have my own opinions about after watching everything that went down with Alex. I've got my own opinions. I'm not going to sit here and spew them on this podcast. I feel like my attention was on Maya, especially in this Fix You program. I feel like we were watching her have a moment. She was overcome with emotion at the end of that free dance. And I feel like we got to watch an athlete who's overcome. She's pushed through so much over the last couple of years. And that was something really special. And I just want to commend her as a fellow athlete who has come up with her for years. I'm amazed at what she's accomplished. And for them to come back and at least have that moment for her, I'm really proud of her. So that's kind of my piece on them. Mm-hmm. You have a speech, Sarah.
You gave a speech just now. But yeah. First of all, Maya and Alex Shibutani got sixth at this competition for people who did not watch it. They were like visibly not
annoyed.
Thrilled with their scores.
Mm-hmm. The little was interesting.
I mean, yeah, they looked at each other in order to not say anything on a microphone, I assume. But mm-hmm. you could tell that they were reading into what those scores meant. And anyway, so that's what happened. I would like to thank Maya and Alex for coming back to competition because this free dance is the best indictment I have seen.
Totally.
Of the this is a, ruining what... of the free dance and of ice dance in general by the ISU.
Yes. Yes.
Because there are a few ways to look at this. I think one is the Shibatanis probably should have built something for the current age instead mm-hmm. of repurposing this. Like, they probably should have done that, period. And that's on them and their team, and that's the choice that they made. But I think, like, you look at the way that these updates to Ice Dance are so bad that they have managed to make an iconic program look muted and forced and unemotional because mm-hmm. it doesn't have. And, you know, like, what I was thinking about is just that Ice Dance in general now is really not built as much for, like, one cohesive song. Because mm-hmm. there are so many things you have to do in, like, these rise and fall elements of, like, we're slowing down and we're doing the character step, like, ruins the cohesiveness of a piece pretty consistently.
Worst element.
The 1 foot steps I'm getting out on too, kind of. I think they're a really good way to look at someone's skating skills. So there's value in that for sure. But that particular element also feels kind of forced when you're trying to do a performance. And so I am grateful for the Shibatanis coming back and holding up a sign on the ice that says reform the ISU. Because that is basically what I felt like was happening as I watched it was, yes, they could have made a different creative choice, but the fact that they can't use this song that was so perfect for a free dance once upon a time, not yes. that long ago. And that it really doesn't seem like it can be effectively repurposed with the current elements is a complete indictment of how messed up Ice Dance is generally.
Mm.
And that's not to say that some of the, you know, they do look slow. They look a little slow. Like they look like many of the older teams look, like, you know, mm-hmm. they look a bit slow. They certainly obviously have less comfort with these new elements than other younger teams. But I really, my biggest takeaway was, what is wrong with the discipline if this amazing program doesn't work anymore?
Yes. I felt exactly the same way, where it was like you're making on the rise of the music. But like you said, Sarah, it's like this song doesn't work in this current format because you need a different change to make a reason for why are you skating the short length of the arena for no reason.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And that's why, you know, it was interesting. You watch Maya and Alex go, and then right after Maya and Alex was Kaya and Dimitri, the other American team, or one of the other American teams, and they did this Kill Bill compilation, which is, you know, 4 cuts of music or whatever it was. I'm making that mm-hmm. up, but several different cuts of music in rapid succession where it's just kind of sectioned off. And
yes.
it's like, oh, this is what the system is designed for now. Mm-hmm. It's not designed for one cohesive piece of music. And you can sort of make it feel like it's one cohesive piece of music when you go fully contemporary, where you kind of cut together. Like, you look at, like, Laurence and Guillaume, which is sort mm-hmm. of one cohesive piece of music, but it's made up. It's not a right. song from start to finish. It's a composition mm-hmm. that is designed to work with the tempo changes and transitions that they need to do to check the boxes of these elements. And a Coldplay song or any song that is like a normal start to finish song with verses and chorus and bridge and
chorus.
Doesn't
work anymore.
It doesn't work. And that is mm-hmm. was really kind of fascinating to watch manifest.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say the way that the system does work is when your Japanese, your partner of Japanese nationality spins you, who you are from
oh
Finland,
my God, the
on
Finnish
your
team.
Stomach and then tumbles on top of you
it's
while
incredible.
Rolling.
Incredible.
Yep. Unbelievable.
Kick,
on your back.
Kick, kick.
Kick.
That's when it does work.
works incredibly.
But it's, yeah, it's just, I mean, last thing on the Shibutanis, I just think for, I always think of them as people who are so like planned out and calculated and have a good strategy. I think that coming back this late was definitely a strategy. And it was a strategy to be like, maybe we won't be, maybe they won't be as critical because maybe they'll get that excitement. But I think it was just, I think now, obviously, hindsight, yes, that they a real comeback of like maybe even a season before or doing multiple senior Bs would have been really beneficial.
Well, and I think it's, you know, the one quote unquote one-to-one comparison, even though obviously there's differences in the situation, is Laurence and Guillaume, who are coming back this season. But I think there's a big difference too in the teams. Laurence and Guillaume are in Montreal. So A, they have a ton of politics that apply right now. And B, they have a coaching team that has been coaching every team in the world in this system, whereas Marina Zoeva hasn't been doing that. You know, she hasn't been coaching high level, like lots of high level teams on these elements in this squad.
She's been in a cabana. That's what I'm saying.
And I think that, you know, that makes a difference too. It's not just them. It's not just the program choice. It's like the teams around them too are having to
They're existing in a silo. And that's part of the challenge is they're not necessarily being, they're not feeding off of an environment that has teams that are existing within this system and have been within this system and are familiar with it. It's very much they're independent, and that's going to be the challenge and has, it seems, been the challenge up to this point. So, I mean, cool to see them back on the scene. I thought that their rhythm dance was really fun. And of course, like the attention to detail with them is always impeccable. Really fun to see. But yeah, obviously not where they wanted to be. That very knowing look from them, I think, if, you know, that 1,000 words were shared right there. I just want to mention in the free dance, Wolf Kostin and Sarofsky, they have this split choreo slide where she's like in the full on splits going on this curve. It's absolutely insane.
No, they're insane.
Oh my God. I love it. They're doing this Kill Bill program. But again, it's like a wild contrast between the two programs. They skated right after them pretty much. And like could not be more different in content. And I'm not saying that that program was better by any means. It's just
but it's
built
more,
for this system.
Yeah, it's more designed for this scoring system.
Yeah. So,
and you can tell that Kai and Dimitri have been doing 1 foot turns in their programs for several years.
Right.
And you can tell
it's the 10,000 hours.
Has never competed a 1 foot step.
Right. Yeah. It's 10,000 hours. If you've done it like for 3 hours every day for the past 4 years.
Yep.
It's just fresher and it's going to look
crisper.
Easier.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, I want to talk about the Tashlers. I spent a lot of time watching the free dances because that is what I had the most time to spend with. So they spent a lot of time working on their Matrix program. I really like it. I think there's some really cool transitions throughout it. It's a great vehicle for them. And I think it's a fun program. Did really well for them. Green and Parsons, my withdrawal team, back on the ice. They made it to their free dance. They're looking great.
My withdrawal team.
My withdrawal
team. Well, you have a different withdrawal team this year, so we'll get to that.
This week.
I'll
have many withdrawal teams this year, apparently.
Right.
This was my first time seeing their free dance this season. It's so cool.
It's weird.
I love how in the best way.
Yeah, John I didn't mean it as negative.
It's so good.
John-Luke Baker did the choreography, and I'm really impressed. It is so strange, but like every time I think it's like one of those moments where it's like every time I think it's going to go left, it goes right. And every time it goes right, I thought it was going to go left.
Yeah, it was just like very cool. They open with this dance spin that's so cool. Really obsessed with it. So they actually ended up taking home the bronze. Huge moment for them. Amazing, especially having to withdraw from their last event. That was great for them as far as looking at Olympic criteria. So great way for them to kind of wrap up Grand Prix season for them. And then moving on, next up, we're going to have Charlene and Marco, who...
So the results of this event were what, Ashley?
Sorry, we kind of got started with the Shibs and then took it away. So first is going to be Lila and Lewis. Second is going to be Charlene and Marco, the Italian team. And then we have Caroline and Michael, the U.S. team. So Great Britain, Italians, Team USA. So Charlene and Marco, they ended up switching out the middle piece in their rhythm dance music. I thought it was a decent change. I don't know if it necessarily zhuzhed up the program as much as maybe it needs to be. It still kind of has the same effect of feeling a little bit just like they were at the parties in the 90s.
I agree. I think the change is
The problem is still there. But it's a good, fine. It's a change. It works for them. I think that their free dance is great. It just is so fast, fast, fast. I wish they would just breathe and take a pause for a second. But the gap between them and the Brits, I think it's still a 6-point gap, which to me just feels kind of crazy because I wouldn't say seven. I'm looking. 7-point gap. I don't see that. I don't feel as far as quality. I mean, they have that very traditional classic dance background with quality. And I don't necessarily understand where they're losing those points. I mean, watching Farron Gibson, I understand. Here's my point with them. Will she straighten her leg ever? No. But are you going to have a fucking great time watching her out on that ice? Yes. I am ready to paint my face, pour a pint after watching that free dance. I am obsessed with it now. I think it's great. So I get the experience of watching them, the program itself, I understand that element of it really gets you into it. But I'm just still confused about where those 7 points are being lost.
Well, in this case, they were only 2 points behind in the free dance, and Marco messed up his twizzles in the rhythm dance. So that didn't help them at all.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So they put themselves... I'm not saying they would have been, ahead or they would have won, but they definitely would have been less behind if that mm-hmm. had not happened. And I did... I was encouraged that they were... only 2 points apart. This sounds crazy. It's a weird bar now. I'm okay, it's good that they're only 2 points apart in the free dance. Oh, I don't know. I just, some of these levels that I am seeing in this British free dance are
out of this world.
Just fascinating to me. The thing about Lila and Lewis, I'm going to do a metaphor, a mm-hmm. sports metaphor.
Mm. Well, this is a sports podcast. It's kind of fitting.
Yeah, we love sports on this podcast. Mm-hmm. Okay, so bear with me. I'm going to do this really fast. This past weekend, there was a college football team, Indiana, who had to put together this last minute long drive to score a last minute touchdown in order to win. They were down to this bad team, and Indiana's undefeated, so they're much better than mm-hmm. this other team. And their quarterback kind of leads them on this drive. He makes some really good throws, and they end up winning with this amazing touchdown catch at the last second. And everybody is like, that's a Heisman moment. He should win the Heisman. And then you kind of look at his stats for the game, and he actually was that was his only touchdown pass of the whole game. And this is a bad team they played against, right? So it's like, wait a minute. Are we voting for him for Heisman, which is supposed to be the award for the best player in college football, because he has some highlight moments that are amazing? Or should we be looking at the game more holistically and looking at how he threw as many interceptions as he threw touchdowns and his completion percentage wasn't that high. And this is kind of how I think about Lila and Lewis sometimes, is that they create these highlight moments and these like great programs that are memorable and fun. And it distracts you, or distracts some people, from looking holistically at the ice dance team.
Okay.
And are they the best ice dance team, or did they just have the best moments here and there?
Got it.
Yeah.
And there are some times that I think that about them. And it just, because there isn't anything in the Italian free dance that stays with me that much. It's beautiful. I think it's really lovely for them. The British free dance I remember more.
Mm-hmm.
But I know the Italians are better skaters.
Yeah. Right.
And I think it's hard to like get your brain to try to like to reconcile those two things. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, the Brits make it a party. Honestly, that is the thing. You're going to have a good time watching them. And you can't take that away from them. And that's worth something. The experience of watching a program is so important. And I think that is what they have figured out. And that is their strength.
Mm-hmm.
And while I did not understand your sports reference at all.
I thought I explained that very clearly.
But I have to have football knowledge.
Okay. Well, hopefully, please someone send
way,
us.
Either way,
someone send us a DM if you understood my metaphor, because I need validation that I wasn't being insane.
I understood, and I don't know anything about football either.
Okay, great. Thank you.
But no, but I think like to your point, like they have these big flashy moments, and when you scale back. You looking at the big picture, the Italians have the big picture, but they kind of make you, they're like, no, don't look at the big picture. Remember these flashy moments, the fun stuff. We've got the fun stuff here. Like it's the smoke and mirrors of it all. But you know what? They're doing it and you remember it.
Yeah.
So more power to them.
I also think that like, I think that their biggest strength is actually fitness. And I'm not even like kidding. I think that their 100% their biggest strength is that Lila wasn't breathing hard at the end of her free dance. She's never breathing hard.
Oh, she's in
never
shape.
Going into a competition going, let's just see how this program grows.
Hmm.
They fertilize this the second that they get the choreography finished. They never show up to a competition not prepared. They never show up to a competition in a state of like, let's see how this goes. They are showing up in the best shape of my life every single time. Mm-hmm. I really respect, because they gotta know that everybody is kind of on their ass of like, well, you're not the best skater and whatever. And they shut that out and they say, shut the fuck up. I'm on the treadmill. I will call you later because the stamina that they have it's unbelievable. I'm telling you, like the way that they are in shape and everybody else is like going to be in that shape, hopefully by the time of the Olympics, and they show up to every competition like that.
Yeah. I agree. I saw a lot of athletes finish a program immediately, hands to knees.
Oh, yeah.
Hands to knees, bent over.
No.
She would never.
No.
No.
Her hands were to her lips as she was blowing a kiss.
She's never touched her knees in her life.
She's never.
She's never bent them either.
Well.
No.
I will say, like, some of the fitness thing, too, is, like, I think that they know that their weakness will show more if they're slow.
Yes.
Way more. And so, like, you think about, like, the section of this free dance that's Auld Lang Syne, and we've talked about that section before, where they don't slow down during that section.
No. They can't.
At all. They can't. And, like, that's the thing is, like, if it was artistically, you know, what it should be, you would go slower with that music and do a little, you know, something a little more sweeping. They don't do that because I think they know they can't really afford to do that and won't do it super well. And so the fitness like goes into that, right? It's like, we are going to be fast the whole time because it's going to be better for our scores. And that's the game.
Go off. Fine.
I guess.
Yes.
So
it's a sport at the end of the day. It's a sport. Mm.
It is true.
Even as subjective as it is, ice dance is the most subjective of all of the four disciplines. It's a sport at the end of the day.
And they are sporty.
And they are in fantastic shape. And it shows every single time that they're out there.
Yeah. I mean, I do think there's a lot of sports where being in shape matters, but doing the skills matters too. And I just think that gets lost sometimes in the way this team is scored.
Yeah.
Because Naomi Osaka can show up in incredible shape, and if she hits the ball out of bounds, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. But I'm telling, somebody came to prepared this Olympic season. I don't know what to skate to. I don't know about this. Lila and Lewis did not come scared.
I'm not denying that. That is completely true.
Good.
I think Lewis should wear a skirt.
I know. I do too.
But here's the thing. He chose a deep V. And
but
so,
you know, we all know what's coming.
It's going to be
at the Olympics.
The kilt's at the Olympics, and it's fine. I'll wait.
Or it'll be at the Grand Prix final, and they'll like test it out or something.
I hope they do a test. But I want to see bare thigh at one point, please. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, that's the don'ts.
All right, where do you guys want to go next?
Let's do the men.
Okay. Let's do the men. I'm in charge of the men, everyone. A man doing men.
The man leading the men.
So at the NHK Trophy, congratulations to the consecutive time NHK winner, Yuma Kageyama was your gold medalist. Shun Sato came away with the silver. Lucas Bridgekey was the bronze medalist. We saw Andrew Torgashev and Jimmy Ma. June Wacha was here. He was much better. June, let's start a little bit with June.
Okay.
In the short program, June is, listen, I think every skater can really relate to this of, I think at one point or another, we've all gone through boot problems. And they're the most annoying problems to have as a figure skater because they're the like dumbest problems to have. Where it's like nobody can see the struggle that you are going through. And it's so frustrating and it's so annoying. Ashley, hand up. I would love for you to take center stage.
Okay. Other than like having the 1 year, and you remember this, the one year that Graf switched over to Canada and my boots like didn't really break down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I got blisters, but that was like the only time I ever had boot problems.
Mm-hmm.
So part of me, I'm going to be honest, feels like boot problems don't exist. But I now, as I'm working towards being a therapist, really have to work around like being like, no, these problems do exist.
You have to work on believing women.
Believing women and men.
Who have boot problems.
It's believing men that she needs.
Believing human beings.
Can you explain to the people, like, and me, what
yes.
do you mean? Like,
so I'll tell you. So let's take you as an example.
Yeah.
Like, so what Ashley's talking about, Ashley still skates in a brand of skate called Graf, which is like not a very mainstream, but when we were skating, everybody had many people had Grafs. Grafs used to make their skates in Switzerland. They still do. But what they decided to do 1 year was to switch the manufacturer for all the North American skaters to the Canadian manufacturer. So Graf Canada was also making figure skating boots. I also used to skate in Graf boots. Anytime I would get boots from Graf Canada, they broke down. They were not made in the same, like, at the same quality or at the same standard as the boots in Switzerland were made. So Ashley had an issue with the Canadian manufacturer. Now, I used to skate in boots that were Jackson's. And I loved the Jacksons because the distributor was in North America. And if I had an issue, I could have somebody at the rink in like 2 days. And they'd be there, they'd fix it, I'd get a new pair or do something. And it was really easy to work with them. That being said, I always was in, they changed the kind of model that they were using and they tried to change the technology every year. So I would get a different tongue. I'd get a different way that the hooks were on the side of the boot. I'd get a different way that the boot was going to fit my foot every single time. And so when you were skating in your Graf Switzerland boots, you were getting the exact same boot every single time.
Yeah.
And as time went on and there were more brands of skates that people were using, whether it be like an SP Terry or Klingbeil, which didn't stopped making skates at a certain point, or Avantas or Adeas, which became very popular, those boots and the brands and the kind and the way that they look have changed so much that like it will get to a certain point where it's like I've been skating in this kind of skate and that kind of skate has changed or doesn't exist anymore, that a skater will get into a situation where it's like, this boot doesn't work for me anymore. And now they're trying to find a different boot that works for them. Mm-hmm. And so it's the models that aren't staying consistent because these brands are trying to improve their technology when really you have an elite skater who, as when you get to a certain level, it's almost less about the like boot technology and more about the consistency like of the product. Same.
My boots never changed. That was the thing about Graf that I loved is they never changed.
Right. But to kind of help you realize how people do have these
except
issues.
Other people's
as soon
problems,
as
yeah.
when as soon as your boots did change, you had an issue.
No, I didn't.
Denial.
And that's
denial.
And that's what I think like these boot problems are. And it's just trying to figure out like blade issues, they're not real that doesn't really happen. John Wilson has been making the same blades since you know, they've been
that's
forging
really helpful.
The steel.
Like when athletes are talking about boot problems, that's really helpful for people to understand what's going on.
That's what it is. It's like that the models are changing, and it's to improve them. It's to make them stronger and make them lighter.
It's the future, but sometimes we need to stay in the past.
Well, sometimes when you're such a particular person, an elite athlete who has the Olympics in a week, you're like, this can't feel any different. Why does this feel different?
Yeah.
And
that's annoying and not even annoying. That's like... not right. Need to happen.
It's not right. And so then you're just struggling to like see if they can make an older version, but they don't have that, you know, these boot problems are.
Got it. So he's having boot problems.
Yes. So we got to see a glimpse of like the June we know and love, and God, June is so fucking good.
He was
great in the short program and then struggles a lot in this free skate.
Okay. Honestly, amazing he got top five here because he was 10th in the free skate.
Oh shit!
Yeah, I mean this event was a little messy.
But that's like June. June can be like, you have the June where you're like, oh, June is so good, and then you have June that can just like completely implode.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's bad on the rest of the field that he got 10th in the free skate and then still
was top five.
Overall.
Yeah, no, that's saying a lot. Yeah.
Yes. I also want to say in the men's event this year, the spirit of now, if you're a good old skating fan, you know that when we reference Douglas Rosano, the famous Arizona skater, it means that he is going to be doing a triple toe, triple toe. And the spirit of Douglas Rosano is alive and well in the men's event this year. We saw a triple toe, triple toe. In this event from Lucas Bridgeki. We saw it from Kevin Amos a week before. A combination that you probably shouldn't see, we are seeing.
Typically means a mistake was made.
Yes. So before we get to the medalists, I have to tell you that by the time I watched the men, I could see everyone on TikTok, and the only one I wasn't able to see, and truly the only one I wanted to see, was Jimmy Ma skating to It's Raining Men. And I still have yet to see it.
It's like Macho Man, right? And YMCA well. It's like a crazy compilation. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I say to our listener who reached out to us once, I would get another layer of tinfoil for that hat. I would get another layer.
Reinforce the hat.
I would find a very staticky carpet. I'd start rubbing my feet on it in the socks.
So what you're saying is it didn't go well for me this week.
No.
It didn't go great. But I feel you because I, like I said, I was feeling him too. Yeah. Andrew Torgashev, he was here with Rafael. When we get to the women, Sofia Semeldukhina, Raphael was there, so he had multiple students. Andrew struggled this week. Didn't have a great short and didn't have a great long. So that men's spot is like wide open because at the same time we had another competition go on this week where Max Naumov had a short program that was in the 90s and he had a free skate that was pretty strong.
Oh, he won the event. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
He won the event. So it's that third spot there is I think it's still completely wide open.
Yeah.
And that's what I think. I feel that Andrew skates worse when Raph is in attendance.
That's why I brought up that Raphael was there.
Yeah. I think he was at Worlds. Disaster. I think it stresses him out or something.
I can imagine.
I mean, Raphael is he's stressful. I feel like I'll be honest, you have to manage Raphael when you're at a competition. I would be at the boards and be like, he's 20 feet away. Hey, you have to stand at the boards with me. Come here. Come here.
Yes. Like, but you know,
it's stressful.
Ashley's personality was like, so if Nathan, like when I was competing, if Nathan wasn't in my event, I had no, like me and Raphael were having like the best of times because it was different expectations. Let's say that. But when Nathan was in the event, there was definitely he would be worried about me, but he'd be really worried about what Nathan was going to do.
Yeah.
And so I always made sure because, you know, I was like an adult. I needed to figure out what was going to work for me. So I would always ask Derek Delmore, who is a really good friend and he's a really good coach. And I'd ask him to come along with us. I brought him to the Olympics. I've brought him to world championships. But I did that so that like I could manage the stress of like Raphael being there with like another student in the same event. And that's what worked for me because then I knew that like Raphael wasn't going to have to worry about spending too much time with somebody and then coming back to another person. And it was just like, if I needed him, I could call him over. But if not, he could be doing his own stress out activities. That's my Raphael experience. Now to the medalists. Lucas, I think, you know, Lucas skated strong. He skated well here, a stronger free skate than he had short program. And Yuma Kageyama, not perfect, but like a really good start to, this is his first Grand Prix, right?
Yes.
A really good start to his like Grand Prix season, like solid. In the short program, he messes up a camel. He gets absolutely no credit for one of his spins. He still wins the short program. Just like really nice quality elements. And that's a mistake that somebody would make early in the season. So, you know, we haven't seen him since the Senior Bees. A long time since then. Shun Sato, he's just continuing the momentum of winning Cup of China for the second time in a row. I don't find his skating as engaging, obviously, as Yuma Kageyama, but you can't deny like the strength. The free skate was incredibly strong. It was really good. He won the free skate. By one point, Yuma had a fall in the free skate on one of the first quadruple jumps, but is also really strong. But I think that Shun Sato is absolutely making a name for himself to be in the top five, maybe possibly podium mix if there's depending on what happens at the Olympics, but absolutely one of the Japanese men who will be on that Olympic team, and he secured his spot for the Grand Prix final. And did you guys watch the men at all?
No.
I suggest going on TikTok. If you miss anything, somebody will have posted a program on TikTok except for Jimmy Ma, and I really do need somebody.
I really want to
watch
Jimmy's
program.
Okay.
Yeah. I would like to see it. Put
Don't
it in
worry.
The chat.
That was the man. Actually, and also one shout out to Bo-Yang Jin, who...
Yeah. He's he was top five at both of his Grand Prix?
Yeah.
Right? Because he got fifth in China. Yes. He got fourth here.
Yeah.
It is impressive because he can be so unpredictable.
Volatile, as
volatile
you might
is
say.
A good word. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, do we want to do pairs or women?
Why don't we do pairs? Because I want to hear about Ashley's withdrawal team.
Okay, well, let's just get into the withdrawal team immediately.
Ashley's so mad. Someone's
how
injured.
Did it, how do she's you so do mad. It?
Okay, so they were going into, it was in the short program, and it was their side-by-side, and it was classic, like, she falls like this, right? Like, slips. And
This is Camille Kovalev from France.
So it was the French team, and it's one of those where if you watch it, she's clearly done it before, because it's not, like, it doesn't look gruesome or anything like that. It's clearly just popped out before.
And
she knows immediately what happened. She gets up and you're like, cool, that is a dislocated shoulder. Mm-hmm. Not great to see someone's arm below their kneecap. And then the camera, thoughtfully pans away. And then...
thoughtfully pans back.
Thoughtfully pans back, and I believe I texted you guys saying, really surprised to see the camera laparoscopically filming them.
You
because
did.
Because I was like, we're not going to stay on this while they put the shoulder back in.
We are.
So we saw them put the shoulder back in, which was great. But basically, pop right back in, as a good shoulder does. So they were out, and I'm out of pair team. But
more importantly,
I'm out
also,
of pair team.
So when it comes to the when we post the draft things on the Instagram, I have added like a cover of where it says like draft and results, so that if there are any skaters that follow the Instagram account, they don't need to see what anybody has chosen or any results.
I think
that's
so smart, because I don't want...
If I was skating...
This is becoming a thing I don't want to know, and I also think now it's becoming a thing that people know that I'm cursing people.
Yeah, but sometimes you reverse curse.
Yeah, you do.
And somebody has, a light out.
I reverse curse, but I curse more than I reverse.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So... regardless, let's get into really what happened. So your top three, it's going to be Conti and Macchi, the Italian teams, in first place. In second, you're going to have Pavlova and Sviatchenko, the Hungarians. And in third, you're going to have the Chinese team, Sui and Han. So I just want to say, Sui and Han, they were in first after the short program, and they were in fourth, actually, in the free skate. So short program, both of these programs, you can tell they just went home, had more time to train.
Mm-hmm. And still the short need program. More time to train, too.
Well, okay,
they
the
do.
Short program, you can tell the training has gone a lot further for them. The short program looked...
Yeah, shorter, easier, yeah.
Shorter, easier, right? Like, yeah. It just looked more polished, and I was like, okay, really like this, like the direction it's going in. Fabulous. Long program. Oh, my God. A couple of those lifts, their last lift almost didn't go up. It was like, boop, 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 boop. It's very, very, dicey. But, again, you could tell that there are more run-throughs under their belt, and I think it's going to be interesting as we kind of see this move along, the details that get added into it. And I mean, they're pros, right? It's only up and up mm-hmm. and up and up. And there's just so much natural talent there. They've been skating together for, their entire careers, essentially. So like, their twists, there's just like the pop there is insane, and the just presence that they both skate with on the ice. There's so much there already to love. It's just more of a training thing that when they're going to be much more trained, I'm excited to really see what that program looks like. But, you know, watching this now, it's like, okay, this is a program that just needs training and time. So that's kind of my takeaway there. The Hungarians, Sviatchenko's lifts also scare me. a lot. I went to KMT and was like, okay, hi, I know you're pregnant, but
you do this every time. You do pairs. Like, you say, why? I know you're pregnant, but I'm doing pairs again.
But I'm doing pairs. Can you tell me, like, why do they scare me? And she was talking about how, like, he's really, like, flared ribs on the way up. So that's why, like, on the press up, it looks really scary. But she said she really trusts his footwork. And now, watching back, I trust his footwork mm-hmm. as well. Because KMT told me his feet look safe. I think his feet look safe. But I just think, like, them as a team, they don't necessarily feel as refined to me compared against Conti and Machi. I mean, like, they just, fine. Watching them, they look a little bit sloppy. They aren't really doing all that. I don't have much to say, right?
I love them. I think they look.
I know.
So much really? More I like the makeover. Polished than, yes. Than they have in the past. And like, yes, Conti and Machi are still more polished than they are. There's like, okay. I completely agree with you there. But I think Maria and Alexei have like really remade themselves in a way that I find them much easier to watch. And like, I think these programs are good. And I mean, they're kind of dark horses for the podium. If people make mistakes, they're gonna be right there. I mean, what they lost, they got second here by like 1 point, you know, like they're right yeah. there because
Ashley's
they're
disgusted by the
really I'm consistent.
Not disgusted. I'm not disgusted. That sounds so harsh. I'm just that,
is
blown,
too, that is too harsh.
To I'm say. Not blown away by them, but also I think to be fair, I think it's very obvious that we haven't done a ton of in-depth pairs focus over the years. So for me to say I've paid attention to them over the last couple of years to notice their growth, I'm not going to act like I've done that. So that's completely fair.
Yeah, I think if you went back and watched a program from 2 seasons ago by them and then watched them this year, you'd really see it. You'd see it. And that doesn't mean yeah. they are the best team in this field. That's not what I'm saying. But I do think like the growth that they have shown this season is really impressive.
I mean, okay. this from Pirates or Sex Bomb.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, okay, he went fair. Through the car wash and he came out waxed, buffed.
Yeah. Right. He's shiny. He's very shiny, slick.
Yeah. No, he literally looks like he went to like a boot camp and came back. Like, yeah. he's.
He also got yassified.
He, yeah, yes.
By the New York Post.
Yeah. No, by Fedor Klimov.
Yeah.
Yassified him.
I do love their opening pose, the like standing like palm to palm in the middle of the ice. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't, this is why I'm a single skater though. Like that's too intimate for me. I couldn't do that. Like,
someone who has a child.
Yeah. Child. It's like, I wouldn't even do this with my child.
I know that's different, but like I couldn't do that. I don't know. And also just the idea of this is where single skating and pair skating is so different. Like they stand middle of the ice at the boards and wait to get called out. I'm like, that's wasting so much time. I need to be moving. I need to be like prepping myself. They have to get all the way out there and wait and like time it. Crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just thoughts that happened to me while I was watching. And then finishing it off, Conti and Machi. I'm so happy that they won this event. I don't know. I'm just getting more and more on board with them as I watch them. I really like them as a team. I think that I find her to just be like very fierce. So for me, I love really watching her on the ice. All these teams are fighting for their lives on that 3-jump combo. I'm just going to say
except
that.
Except for one.
Yes.
Except for one.
Nagoka and Moriguchi.
Oh my God. That what was great. It? Triple loop, double axel, double axel.
They're
that was
the only team.
The only
team. The Browns are the only team that can do headstands. This Japanese team is the only team that should be allowed to do 3-jump combos.
Oh my God. Yeah, but then she went and popped her neck side by side. So it's like, get these girls a sports psychologist, all of them. They need to talk to someone because these side by side jumps shouldn't be so scary for them. We can do it. But anyway, Conti and Machi, like a couple of moments where, you know, it wasn't perfect. There was a fall in the throw triple loop in the free skate, but overall, a Grand Prix win for them, headed straight to the Grand Prix final. Massive. Like, looking at this in an Olympic season, this is exactly where they need to be for that fight for the podium. I think they should be really pleased with how their season is going so far. So I think the pairs was like, it was a great event. Can we talk about how the busiest woman of NHK is Kathy Reed?
Yeah.
I feel like every time I looked up from my notes, I saw Kathy Reed in the Kiss and Cry.
She made sure it was that way.
Yeah.
She's always put me there. Front and center in the Kiss and Cry.
Yeah, she is. All right. Well, that was pairs.
Which leaves us to Sarah leading the women.
Leading the women. I'm not leading the women. Kaori Sakamoto is leading the women.
Hell yeah, she is.
Hell yeah.
Kaori Sakamoto won this event by 27 points.
Hell yeah.
Sofia Samoldelkina from Kazakhstan got second with an even 200.00.
That feels good.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. It's not her first time hitting 200. I checked, but it's pretty close to her personal best.
Or just like
a, just like getting like to 200.
Okay.
But it does feel, if you're saying it feels like good juju to just be at an even 200, I agree.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, ooh, I feels like really,
yeah, tax feels free.
And then Luna Hendricks got third from Belgium, beating Young Yu from South Korea by like 0.15 who got fourth place. And Sarah Everhart got fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think where we should probably start is Wakaba Higuchi got ninth place here.
Shit.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
So what, where did she go wrong? What happened?
The jumps. I mean, it's, you can just tell this is a person who has been struggling with an injury, who's not ready to be doing her full programs. That's,
she's a hurt girl too. Yeah.
She is a hurt girl.
She is a hurt girl. And there's no room for her to, like, you know, like you're talking about the Chinese pair team of, like, getting into it and warming up and they can continually get better.
There's no time for this.
There's no space for this. There's time, but there's no room for her to be able to do this.
I mean, no. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very tough, I think. First of all, looks incredible in her short program dress. I love this dress on her. She looks great.
She's
doing My Way for her short program, and it felt very like Yuna Aoki of her, where it was really like a lovely, lovely program, and the jumps just not there. And then she comes back in the free skate. She's skating to Wonder Woman. This program definitely feels like it needs more mileage. But at first, you know, in the first half, she's jumping really well and hitting everything. And then you get to the second half and you can tell she's tired already. And she just starts to fall, essentially. And so, yeah, she was really, really emotional at the end of her free skate. A little bit hard to watch in the sense that, like Adam said, it just doesn't feel like there is
room,
space for this time, whatever you want to call it. Like, it just doesn't feel like there's room for a lot of error or a lot of growth throughout the season for the Japanese women if you're not up there quick. I mean, and also, I mean, time, the amount of time there really is left is 6 weeks for them. In reality,
oh my God, that makes me sick. Whoa.
It's really not a lot, you know. So she got ninth here.
Yeah,
which
I'm feeling sick.
Is a bummer.
About that.
You know. I think. Yeah, I just think it feels like a hit to her Olympic chances. To watch her skate like that, and it's tough because you look at someone like Luna Hendricks, right, who got third here, and it's just like the gift of timing. Of not a gift, but, you know, Luna Hendricks had to miss most of last season injured. But it was last season.
Right.
And she had all this time to kind of come back. And right now, she's in really good shape right now.
Oh, yeah.
And Wakaba's injury was not timed in that way. Mm-hmm. And of course, Luna doesn't have the added challenge of being in a field of 20 million amazing Japanese women mm-hmm. fighting mm-hmm. for three spots. So anyway, that's Wakaba Higuchi. We love you, Wakaba.
We really do.
Other people I will address quickly. Yuna Aoki got fifth in the free skate here. She jumped better than I've seen her jump most of the season in this La La Land program. Mm-hmm. That's not to say she jumped well, but she jumped.
That doesn't matter, though.
It doesn't.
Better than care. She has. Like, she was getting, staying on her feet.
Yes.
And, like, and that made a big difference just in the cohesiveness of the program. So, and she was great. The crowd loved her. I mean, who doesn't love this program? Mm-hmm. God, she's great.
Yeah. She's just the best.
Sarah Everhart got fifth.
What'd that protocol look like?
It wasn't too bad.
Well, the protocol wasn't that bad other than the falling.
Oh.
She fell on her last jump in the short program, mm-hmm. which, you know, made a big difference in her score.
And in the free skate, too.
She fell, and it was a downgrade on that jump, so she really got next to nothing for that triple loop in the short program. And when she finished the short program, she was so frustrated and mad. Like, you could see it on her face.
Mm-hmm.
She's, like, cursing at herself on the ice. Yeah. You know, like, very, just seemed, like, really defeated by that. She got a few cues / under rotations in the free skate. She made a big mistake on her last jump in the free skate. Like Adam said, she didn't actually fall. She might as well have. It was like a big disruption. So yeah, I mean, I think I was a little annoyed because I felt like she skated a lot better in this free skate than she did the free skate last week.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this free skate was much better skated. And it still sort of ended up with like these markups, and it was annoying because the feed did not show slow-mos of the jumps that they called. So
that is annoying.
You only could watch it in real time, which was a little bit annoying to me because I can't say for sure if I completely agree with the calls. I know that last week when we watched some in slow motion, the calls were there. So, you know, have to think that maybe they were there this week too. But I'm frustrated for her, you know. I think it's just hard to be in your second year senior trying to figure this out and in a field, you know, an American field where the top three are so clear and obvious and mm-hmm. so far ahead. That I think there's probably some feeling of, you know, feeling defeated a little bit right now in this point in the season for her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch her at all this weekend?
I didn't get the chance. Mm-hmm. No.
I think it's just like an air of like, it feels a little bit like the air has been a bit released because I think she's feeling that as well.
Yes.
I think that you come into the season. And I think what's really tough is that wasn't it last week that she was just at the competition?
Yeah.
So she has no time in between to like, to process what happened. And what I mean is like what happened of just how harsh that specialist was, which they were harsh to everyone.
I mean, that's a strong message too. Not message, but it's like,
it's a tough pill to swallow.
That kind of like fact checking. It's hard. It's hard to take. And also when you're kind of coming into this second year senior, like, and first year, people are excited about you. You're such a technical athlete. That's like what you're known for. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, sit down. You have all of these cues, some under rotations. Like, oof,
it's disappointing.
It's a lot to take in.
Personally. Yeah. I think it's just that personal disappointment. And just like you said, like, this is supposed to be my thing. And now mm-hmm. I'm getting nailed with it. And it's a really hard thing for a skater when you get like an under rotation, when you're like, I guess I didn't really, you can see it on the ice, but maybe you're not feeling it, to not overcompensate. And she had 1 week to figure that out and not like overpower things. I think that she skated like pretty well given the circumstances of like how harshly she was judged the week before. But I can see
and
in her
the back to back competing, going to Asia, all of that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that trip too isn't making it any easier. Right.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do think Adam, to that point, like the cues, I think are really hard for skaters to correct.
They
like
are.
If something's under, you probably feel that more when you land. Like you can tell when you're short. But I think some of these cues, they'll call them so close that may not even be something that you can feel.
I'm going to say, I'm going to say this, is that like if you're a skater and you're doing a jump and you land and it's cue, I think as the skater, you're not feeling that. I think that if somebody were to, like, here's the replay, look at it, you can go, I see what you're saying and be objective about it. But, yeah. like, your body is registering that you are landing backwards. There's no, like, turn or torque that you're feeling. Like, everything feels good. And it's almost like a aggressive issue. Like, were you aggressive enough? Were you trying to, like, hold back a little energy? Were you trying to save the jump? Like...
Yeah.
It's about conditioning, but also it's not a technique thing. It's really like being in shape in the pro. And I'm not saying she's not in shape. I'm just saying that it's like you only know to address it when it happens to you and you get the cues and you're like, oh, okay. These aren't going
well. You don't know what's happening.
Cues are going to come in with nerves too. It's a commitment thing. It's going like, how much are you attacking a jump? Are you pulling back? Like, I think cues are going to be a little bit with like the push and pull of a program and where you are mentally in this program as well. Like, I think that's part of this. I'm not surprised that her first program out on a Grand Prix where Olympic spots are at stake, all of a sudden her program's littered with cues. That's not entirely surprising.
Do you guys think cues are good to have?
I think they're stupid.
I think they're so stupid.
Me too.
I think they're so stupid.
I think that they're
making sure we all think that.
Because
I said this when she got called for all those cues. I said it. I think they're so stupid.
I think they're stupid.
I think like...
Because...
It's literally just another pointless thing to kind of like throw out there. Like just if it's under, like fine, let's do that. But this like, all right, you're like right on the cusp.
Yeah,
so
you're
stupid.
Right there. I know. Also, and like, it's yet another thing. It feels very much like like a spin level thing where it's like, just did they do the jump or not? You know,
right.
There's a cheated jump and then there's these cue jumps that are just...
I think it's just like, if it's cute, it's clean. You're just saying that it was close.
Well, and it's, well, and it is called like the, you don't lose base value on
right.
cue.
So you're just being a fucking
it's
dick.
Clean. That's what I'm saying. It's like this, it's yet another thing that chips away at allowing programs to have like create moments because we're just gonna, oh, you thought that was a nice moment as an audience member? Well, fuck you, because actually they were on the queue six times and
right.
So we're gonna take 10 points away. And it bothers me. It takes the joy
out of like, come on, get
yes.
real. And also the exclamation point, there's very few skaters in my lifetime I've ever seen like do flat edges into jumps. I've seen Ashley do flat edges, but my biggest flat edger, flat earther, was Mariah Bell. She would do both the flip and the Lutz on like a flat edge. She'd go inside to be flat. She'd go flat. She's like one of the only people I'd see flat. Everyone else, let's get real. It's on the inside edge. It's not an exclamation point. Just like,
well,
these are flexes.
I think,
these are flips.
Well, that's the thing. It's like,
call the E.
If it's the wrong edge, call the E.
Yes.
If it's not, we don't need an additional call for like, well, it wasn't as inside as we would like.
Yeah.
I just
the
don't
gray
need that.
Area is annoying. It's either right or it's wrong.
Yeah, I always love when it's like a skater you know is going to do like a flutz and they get like nothing on it, and then they do a flip, which you know is a flip, and they're like, ugh, exclamation point. Ugh. I'm like, have you ever watched them skate?
Exclamation points are just used to like really wield some kind of like forgiveness for athletes that like they choose to, they don't want to really call a flutz or, you know, a whip if you want. Like that's all it is. I just think it's another like political tool to wield.
It's interesting, but, like you say that because you could also say it, you know, the opposite way of like, this is a way you can punish someone a lot.
Yes.
Without punishing them. Like, exactly. Without a real wrong thing happening.
Yeah.
Which I just don't really like it. And I understand that an argument would be made that there's more objectivity when there's more precision in the way you call it. But it does really take the joy out of all of it.
Yeah. Ease the cues to me are just so stupid. And like for a jump to be 100% around at that point, it's over rotated. Like if you really think about it, if you're landing all the way like 100% around, you're going to have a little bit of a curve to be able to ride out that running edge. So, well, like I understand what Q exists as, like, I get that, but really the using that logic, like 100% around doesn't truly exist. You have to have a little bit of a curve to maintain the running edge. That's, and I just think, like, how you land a jump.
There are jumps that land exactly right sometimes. There are. I do believe that. But my thing is like, okay, typically though, to Ashley's point, it's going to be a little over or a little under because it's a human person landing a jump.
It's a balance thing.
And right. And to me, the GOE should take care of that. Like, there's such a thing as a perfect jump. We all, like, in theory, right? Mm-hmm. That there is such a thing as a perfect jump that gets a +5 GOE across the board.
Yeah.
And that's what it should get. And if it's a little bit off, then it should get less than that. But we don't need a call that tells us the GOE has to be this low, because what was the overall look of the jump should determine what the overall GOE is. And you can, a judge should be able to bake in that was just a little bit under, a little bit over, and I'm going to maybe adjust a little bit. But overall, it was a great jump with a great running edge, with a great entry, with a great air position, whatever it may be. And so it deserves X, Y, Z. But when you add these cues, it's like, well, it has to be this much lower than what you were going to give it.
It's
and
just
I
so
don't like that.
No, it's like,
why
if it were
under. Why can't the
judges
decide what the GOE is without these signifiers?
Because they think that
they
the judges can't be trusted.
Yeah.
But the callers can't be trusted, to be fair. Because sometimes you'll get these insane fucking calls.
Yeah.
Well,
anyway,
we could go on for hours about that.
Yeah,
but
I'm a little. That became more worked up than I thought it would, but I did want to talk about it. So, Ashley, I haven't talked about the podium of the women. Can I talk about them? We just talked about Sarah Everhart in fifth place. Kaori Sakamoto did two incredible programs. She did two incredible programs. I just, like, I don't want her to leave us.
I know. She was amazing.
She was amazing. And it really, like, I teared up at the end of her free skate. It was so good. It was, and now I just really want her to win an Olympic gold medal. I mean, not that I like have been rooting against that, but it just made me feel like, man, I don't know if anyone can really skate like this. And I don't think that anyone has made a case to me right now that they should beat her if she's clean. Mm-hmm. Triple axels or not. I'm like, this is the best figure skating we have, I think.
I agree. I mean, yeah. I think she's amazing, and it will be so interesting to see what happens at the Olympics.
Yeah.
I just think we have a lot of different types of skating, which is such a treat for everybody. But I think that what she puts out on the ice is so she's such a dynamic skater, but then also like the story and what she's kind of created over the past couple of years and then her programs. Like there's a lot of different parts of Kaori that coming together at the Olympics, I think just the moment that she's going to create, like, and on top of that, listen, she said in an interview, she was talking about how badly she wanted to win. I haven't heard another girl talk about how bad she wants to win the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go mm-hmm. win the Olympics, girl. I want her to win. If you say you want to win, I'm behind you.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
I know. She has the highest total score of the season so far. Mm-hmm. It's a fraction of a point above what Ami Nakai got at Grand Prix France. So close, close, close. I have to think if you put these two people together, though, on Olympic ice, and they're, you know, Kaori. The moment decides, and mm-hmm. Kaori gets that,
yeah.
I think. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Sofia Samodelkina, great skates from her. You know, this was like a technically pretty flawed event from a lot of these women, and Sofia skated really well. She has a Sunset Boulevard program that I really want to see like grow over the season mm-hmm. because I really like it. And she has some musicality, like when she opens the program and when she does more of her choreo in the program that she loses in the jump heavy portions of the program, that I look forward to those being more incorporated because she has the talent and just needs to like blend it all in a little bit more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was really happy to see her skate well. I was laughing because she went into the lead in the free skate, like went into the lead overall.
Yeah.
And Mark, who's commentating, is going, yeah, it's really great to see. She's so happy. She's now a silver medalist on the Grand Prix because Kaori was about to go. And it was just like, yeah. She's
yeah.
not going to win.
Yeah, she's not going to win. Yeah.
Not going to win. But that was really funny. Funny to watch. And then Luna Hendricks skated really well also. She's in like really, really, talk about people who are in good shape. Who like that's part of their brand. Luna Hendricks.
That is part of her brand.
Yeah.
Totally.
She has like two key tenets to her brand. One of them being
nudity.
Like naked. Little to no fabric. mm-hmm. And the other being in shape.
Yeah. She's skating to Celine Dion in the short, which I really like for her. It's great. And then in the free, she's doing kind of a...
It's horrible.
It's not.
Yeah, it's not good.
I'm just going to say it's horrible.
Yeah.
How would you describe this music? It's tango-ish music almost.
I would say it's
like
a Spanish woman.
Did she switch her short?
I think you're right. Maybe. I think she did something different at the Beijing competition.
Yes.
Huh.
Interesting.
Okay,
yeah, I
continue
forgot that
on,
completely.
And I will figure
No, I
figure
believe
this
you.
Out.
Every time okay. Ashley does this and I say, I don't know what you're talking about, we get a DM on Instagram who says, I knew what Ashley was talking about. And I'm like, okay, all right. She was right again.
I could be wrong, though. Okay, but that I'm happy to hear she's doing a Celine. That
it's really
makes
good.
Sense.
It's good.
That and makes sense for her.
Yeah.
Like, she just needs to be like, what would the gays want me to skate to? And then do that. So she needs to do that for a free skate, too.
This, like, Spanish guitar free skate.
I hate it.
It's not very good. And it's funny because she's, like, even when the club music is not playing, she's doing club
she's in
choreography.
Line. Yeah, she's in line
she
at the club.
She is doing, she's literally, like, I'm watching her dance. I'm like, this play some club music if you're gonna just do this because you might as well be leaned into it. But skated really cleanly here. And that's
good.
Most important thing. Like she looks like she's in great shape, ready to go. And now I'm done with the women. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Well, that being said, our next event is going to be the live show in Lake Placid. We have three shows. We will be recording them and we haven't figured out what we're putting out for you guys to hear, but at least one of these shows is going to be put up on Spotify, so you guys are going to be able to listen in. But we're doing something new, and so we are going to be recording our recap of the draft and our draft picks over on our Patreon. And so if you are a subscriber, you can head on over there or you'll have access already and tune in. And if not, go check out our Patreon. We are at the Run Through
Podcast.
Podcast on Patreon. Thank you so much, I got Sarah you. Hughes, yeah. for saving my life.
I do want to say one more thing about the live shows this weekend, which is that the location for the live shows is attached to the arena. The arena has like an attachment of like a convention center. We will get an email out to people who bought tickets with instructions on how to get there, but you don't have to go far. You'll be right there where the competition mm-hmm. is taking place.
Yeah. We're so pumped to see you all. And when I run out faster than you have ever seen me run, it's not because I don't love you. It's because I have production meetings because I'll be the in-arena host. So I'm pumped to see you all.
She's going
to
watch every skate.
Mm-hmm. I will
yet again.
Her favorite activity.
Yeah, I love. Hey, I'll if I'm getting paid, I will watch figure skating. So.
And on that note, we'll see you in Lake Placid.
And on that note, go to our Patreon for the draft.